From the Word of God, Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, "Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him.'" This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locust and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Get ready for the Lord's coming. At Erskine Theological Seminary, where I took my Master of Divinity degree, the professors would tape newspaper clippings or editorial cartoons on the doors of their offices. And I remember one, there was a preacher who was standing outside the sanctuary where the congregation that was gathered for worship could not see him, but he could see them. And in his hand, he held a folder, and the title of the folder was Sermons on Hell. And as he looked into the sanctuary with glee on his face, he reached over to the thermostat and turned the heater up to 120 degrees. I'm not sure what that professor was trying to tell us, but by turning up the heat, so to speak, this kind of preaching announces that the good news is not such good as we thought. It comes to people in a way that it seems as though it's bad news, because it's based on fear, not on hope. It tries to scare people into changing their way of life, but in doing that, it ignores the core of the gospel message, which is that God requires repentance, but He loves and He forgives. God gave the children of Israel everything they needed: a land flowing with milk and honey, His direction. He brought their nation into existence. He delivered them from slavery. And they repaid God with disobedience. Not long after they were delivered from Egypt, they made a golden calf and they worshipped it. They complained that the manna from heaven that He fed them with in the wilderness was not good enough for them. And when they got to the border of the promised land, they refused to go in, because they said, "There are giants over there and we can't possibly take the land." And then once they did go into the land and possess the land, they began worshiping the gods of the people in that land instead of the Lord God Almighty. And so God punished them. God sent them prophets to announce His judgment, and then He sent Isaiah in words that were partly quoted by John the Baptist in our text this morning. God told Isaiah to say, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. announce to them that their warfare is over, their punishment is over. Tell them that I am coming to them, coming that I might lead them back to the promised land. Tell them that to make a path in the wilderness for my arrival. Tell them to even straighten out the crooked places and make them straight. Tell them there's good news for Zion, that I care for my people just as shepherds care for their flocks, that I will carry them in my arms and gently lead them to their fold. That's the message of Advent. Get the road ready for the Lord. Advent preparation is described as paths to be made straight, valleys to be filled in, hills to be laid low, uneven ground to be smoothed out and leveled out, so that the journey of God toward us and us toward God, the obstacles are removed. And John draws people from the countryside. He draws people from the city and from whatever occupies them to consider for a time what it means to prepare for the one who's to come. John proclaimed that preparation involved repentance and confession. At first, that does not sound like the promised good news. Repentance and confession entails facing the truth about ourselves and changing the direction of our lives. Who wants to do either of those things? I think we know what valleys and hills in our own lives need leveling and fixing. And I think we know what role repentance plays in that fixing, what role, in fact, it needs to play in our lives. And I remember a time when I was very, very much aware of that and did not want to face the me I was seeing in the mirror. Let me illustrate. On February 27th, 1999, following an Ash Wednesday service, I published a column in the Augusta Chronicle entitled, "I Surrender Almost All." Here it is. I walked silently out of church wearing a black cross in the middle of my forehead. The cross was made with a mixture of ashes from last year's palm leaves and index cards on which we had written sins of which we were confessing. And the leaves and the cards were burned and then mixed with olive oil. And then the preacher would put a black cross on our foreheads, and I had mine. Well, that particular year, I did not write out the list of sins that I was repenting of. I put only initials on my card, lest an unwary worshiper stray to my list of personal misconduct and be taken aback by my catalog of corruption, my index of infamy. I did not want to place a stumbling block in a brother's or sister's way. The initials I felt were safer. And the thought crossed my mind that if I wrote only the initials of my sins on the card, and I ever returned to them or wanted to return to them, it would be easier to repent of initials than of the whole sordid list. You see, my strength in this Christian walk is the Lord Jesus Christ. My weakness is me. I understand the whole and wholeheartedly applaud the writings of the Apostle Paul to the Roman believers. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. Maybe you'll understand then, in my very reflective mood, my hesitation to sing the closing hymn of that evening, "I Surrender All." The first verse of J.W. Van Deventer's powerful anthem to prevenient grace says, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live." That night, I could have sung with gusto, "I surrender almost all." So the good news can often sound like bad news, at least at first. Repentance and confession both require a searching and an honest look back. There are no shortcuts. But here's the promise, here's the blessing, here's the power of Advent. Isaiah said, "Make things level, knock down the mountains, fill in the valleys, make the crooked road straight." God is the greatest earth mover. He plans the road we walk on. And the work of leveling and filling and smoothing is God's work in us and around us. We don't have to be great evangelists, great pastors, or great expounders of the Bible. We simply have to hear the good news. Say yes to the Lord Jesus. And then in our Christian walk, announce the good news and live it as a pathway for those who do not know, for those who have not heard. And then get out of their way so that they can find the pathway to God. Comfort. Don't condemn. Comfort my people. Let them know that through Jesus they can be forgiven. Speak tenderly to them God's grace and forgiveness. And tell them to make a way in the wilderness. In the wilderness of their lives, for their God. And on this second Sunday of Advent, we come to the table of the Lord. And as we approach, would you find that place in the bulletin where the prayer of confession is written? And let us pray it together in unison. Heavenly Father, we come before You with a heart that longs to be still in Your presence. As we prepare to take communion, we ask for Your forgiveness for the times we've fallen short, the moments we've let sin and doubt creep in. Wash us clean, Lord, and make us whole. Jesus, thank You for Your sacrifice on the cross, the ultimate act of love that gives us hope, healing, and new life. Help us to draw closer to You today, to experience the depth of Your grace and the power of Your resurrection. Amen.